The Demon Sea.
Well, cut. You must be mistaken.
It's now, it's here.
Come on down here and help with it.
Demon Sea.
Paranormal existence.
You mean to say you came here purposely?
The first move in the great conspiracy had been made.
Now, it's on now.
You
it's on
fucking
now.
Fucking dildo.
Let's start from the beginning.
Right, because I mean, it was worth it. I was going to say, okay, for the purpose of the listeners.
Yeah.
What I'm going to try and do now.
Yeah, we relive it.
Is I've got this such a lack of respect for them anyway.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend any of my mental acuity on trying to think of new stuff.
No.
So, for the purpose of the listeners, I'll smash the fourth wall for a second.
Yeah.
John's in charge of the recording today because Reese can't be asked to be here again, right? So we've been talking for a good 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Including a brilliant, I got to say, a fantastic Critter Walker impression.
It was pretty good.
Well, you'll hear it again in a minute because, you hadn't pressed record.
No.
And I just noticed. We almost went for the whole hour, which would have been good.
The whole hour.
Yeah. So let's go back to the very start. I'll start again.
Okay. Yeah,
but I'm going to try and do it. And they won't know we're doing this.
No.
Because they didn't hear the first bit.
Yeah. So
I'm going to try and remember verbatim what we just said for the last 10 minutes.
And if you start with the sound of you settling in the chair as well. So
right.
It's,
okay.
Yeah. Okay. Go.
You're an idiot.
All right, Mike. What's up?
You're an idiot. That's what's the matter.
What's happened?
I'll tell you what's happened, shall I?
Yeah.
Now, you know, I've been married for a long time. I've been with Kelly a long time.
Yeah.
And it's hard, you know, being a family man, being a dad, being a husband. Mm-hmm. I don't cheat on Kelly, never would.
No.
Never have done.
Never do that.
Well, I met her, of course. I was in tremendous shape when I first met her. Mm-hmm. I really was the tall package at the time, you know, fit body, fit mind, everything. Yeah. Baby blue eyes, the lot.
Peak, yeah.
Mediterranean term.
Big twilight peak. Years now.
Well, yeah. I would say I was waggling my bat after my 50 to the pavilion.
Yeah.
Hoping to make a century.
That's right.
I believe that's the exact sentence I used earlier.
And then I said, knocking on heaven's door.
You did, yeah. I think it was a bit later. You'll say that in a minute.
Okay, I'll save that, yeah.
And it's hard, you know, it is hard. I used to play a lot of rugby and I don't do that anymore. And I've hobbled out. Essentially, a couple of weeks ago, I employed a very nice man to be a personal trainer, trying to get me into shape. So I want to be here for the kids and Kelly. He helps me with my diet, but this is a struggle. It's a daily struggle.
This is where I said it now, knocking on heaven's door.
You said it right by then. Yeah. Then I said, I ruptured my Achilles yesterday playing rugby.
And I laughed.
And I'm a load of, you'd laugh. I said, that's funny, is it?
Yeah. And I said, no, it's
funny,
not.
Is it?
It's not.
He said, no, it's not. Yeah. Then I said, but I've taken a lot of painkillers. I'm doused myself in ibuprofen gel. I've hobbled out today, even though I hate these people.
Yeah, disdain.
And even though, not only do I not get paid for this, it actually costs me money.
Yeah.
There's nothing in this for me financially at all.
Nothing at all. Shit.
At all.
Shit. Yeah.
Despite all that, I've hobbled out here on my bad, my very, very painful foot, in a great deal of pain. Mm-hmm. Only to see that you have invited me to this Zencaster, under the name of Mike Fatman Bubbins.
Now, this is the point where I stepped in to say, Mike Man Fat Bubbins, because I'm talking about the juice that comes out of you.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And then I said, to be fair to me, it was probably the pain. I couldn't concentrate properly. So it says Mike Man Fat Bubbins.
Yeah. Talking about
that's all right then. Yeah. And then I said, and I see you call today's podcast recorded, beans coming out of you and you cry. And then you laugh. And then you told me the story about
the anecdote.
Well, tell everyone the story that you told me 3-4 minutes ago about the baked potatoes and the curried beans.
Right. So, I mean, I was
verbatim.
Okay. So back in the 90s.
I had a little drink of Dr. Pepper when you started like this.
And so I have the drink now.
Yep, done it. We've done it. She's done it.
And then I can go in. So I always used to. I firmly believed that the anecdote that if you eat a lot of beans, you fart was a fallacy. It was a lie. Just complete rubbish.
Yeah.
And I've lived by that rule for many years until roughly the late 90s when I started eating a lot of curried beans. And, you know, I used to buy the small half tin of the curried beans, and I really got into them very heavily. Mm-hmm. And I used to eat them alongside microwavable jacket potatoes that came with the cheese right. on them. So I really got heavily into these, and I absolutely loved them. I was going crazy for them.
Well, yeah, living the dream.
Yeah,
the late 90s.
Loved it, absolutely loved it. And
I think he used the phrase "second the matter of life," but that might have been later when he said about the second potato on the same day.
And also you made a reference.
I'll jump the gun a bit there. Sorry.
It's okay because we've got to get to the point about the McCain jacket potatoes. But I then explained that it was the Sainsbury's.
We're 5 minutes in now, which means we're actually about 8 minutes in.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, more. 13, 14 minutes in. Yeah.
And so I used to buy these potatoes and I loved them. And I used to compliment them with the curried beans, which come in the half tin size, not the full tin. It was the half tin.
Oh, no, you imagined the full tin.
Yeah. So I'd buy, you know, 10, between 5 and 10.
220 G's.
220 G, yeah.
Not the 440 G.
Not the 440. I never liked beans that much. And of course,
I imagine they're that split because it would have been a pound of beans in the old days and a half pound of beans.
Yeah.
Which now is approximately, you know, 0.45 of a kilogram.
Yeah, roughly speaking.
0.22 of a kilogram, roughly speaking. I didn't do that earlier, but that should occur to me now.
But that's bonus material in many ways.
See? Thank God you didn't press record.
Yeah, thank God.
Go on. Really.
Gold dust, in a way. Mm. And
I didn't laugh earlier either. First time I laughed.
So I'd buy these jacket potatoes, I'd microwave them, and I'd add the beans. Every day I would eat these, and I really loved them, and I thoroughly enjoyed them, and I thought beans don't...
So you were living on Sainsbury's bloody, those horrible pre-made jacket potatoes in a bag, yeah?
It was the... Because in the previous conversation, you said it was the McCain pre-made jacket potato, but I corrected you.
I did say that.
And I said it was the Sainsbury's.
Your corrections are stuck, see?
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's no problem. No problem.
They've probably turned off by now anyway.
No. And of course, I would buy these jacket potatoes with the cheese and I'd add the beans and then...
A shit podcast. I didn't say earlier.
Great stories.
But it's really occurring to me now.
Great stories. I would add the beans and of course, I'd enjoy these as a wholesome nutritious meal. Yeah. And I remember thinking...
Well, I mean, you're not covering all the bases there, but go on.
It's doing something when you eat it.
Yeah.
It's filling the hole.
Tons of vitamins in the beans and fucking...
one day, I came back to my kitchen and I'd already had one at lunchtime, which was a jacket potato with the beans. And I thought, why not?
This is the bit where I said you're second mother of life because you're having the second big potato and beans of the day.
Yeah, this was... I remember it now. I remember it. Yes, it was. So I said I was having the second one. Yeah. And as I was eating it, it came out tragic
and still do. Hang on.
Yeah.
A second.
Yeah.
That's the bonus material.
Egg classic. Golddust.com.
And we're too good to these people. We really are.
I took it out of the microwave, I put the beans on, and I got stuck right in. And I ate it incredibly quickly.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself, this anecdote about beans making you fart is a travesty. It's a lie. It doesn't happen. Mm.
Yeah.
And then, of course, within moments of eating it, I was struck with a sudden stomach pain. And then at this point, you said...
because I thought this would sound great in the start of Christopher Walken.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is what I said to you. Tell me about the... Tell me about it as Christopher Walken.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So... Within moments of consuming this potato, jacket potato with cheese and curried beans at the same time, I'm consuming it thinking, I'm never going to fart from eating this. It doesn't happen. It's travesty. It's a lie. Falsehood, even. And within moments of eating this jacket potato, prepackaged, microwavable product, I feel a striking pain in my stomach. And a cold sweat falls over my brow, across my forehead, arms, legs, in between my legs, under my toes, in between my buttocks. And I feel the pain like no other. And realize, suddenly, I need to fart bad. But it's beyond the fart. I feel liquid mass building up inside of my bum bum. And I'm scared. Yeah. I don't know what to do. So I run to the toilet as fast as I can. And rip my trousers down, my pants come off, sit down on the toilet like any other man, expecting a liquid mass to come out of me. Niagara Falls, but brown, coming out of my bum. And within seconds, instead of liquid, I suddenly hear this noise that goes, bruh! And I'm terrified. I think there's somebody behind me shouting into my ear, shouting a noise into my ear. I turn around. Mm. There's nobody there. And when I look down, there's nothing in the toilet. There's nothing in the toilet. No liquid, no mass, apart from one solitary bean skin floating on the water.
Oh, God. I mean... Right, so do you know what? We're at 10 minutes and 34 seconds.
We've got past the intro.
So in real terms, we've now been going for 21 minutes.
21 minutes, yeah.
That is a piss poor anecdote, isn't it? At the end fuck of it, to come up with that.
Fuck you. Milk, milk, lemonade, turn around and chocolate's made. My boys, my wonderful boys, welcome back. It's so good to see you. Simon Acelero, David, for you, this used sock I found in the toilet covered in a type of seed. And for you, my favorite of all the boys, my favorite of all the children, Goliath, I bring you this pair of shit-stained pants that I... come, Goliath. Only 7 years old, but with the body of a 35-year-old, you can drive the car today. I'm pissed.
Which brings me, we should point out that as of the end of the baked bean story, this is all red hot new content now.
This is the bonus that
this is fresh. We haven't done this stuff.
Came from
the hype. We realized that we hadn't press record just before the solitary bean came out your ass.
It's just the skin.
So this is all fresh. Free and easy,
you know, life. Yeah, totally now, winging it.
Did you see a couple of the old Twitter followers there? And bear in mind, the last one was a Patreon one, so they're paying their £5. They can have their
sixpenny.
They can have their say-so, can't they? Yeah. One bloke is absolutely enraged at the fact that we use the fart noise a lot.
Disgusted. Absolutely disgusted. The one that doesn't like the fart noises. Absolutely disgusted by it. Hates
the one that doesn't like the farts,
hates it.
But likes our stuff.
Yeah, but doesn't.
Finds us very amusing, but the one who doesn't like the fart noises does not like the fart noises. And he wanted to point out, because we always tell everyone what a shit show this is, and it is. Mm. We don't just say that. It is a shit show.
Yeah.
When people say, I was really offended by the last show, it's below John and Mike. It's terrible. It's just fart noises.
Yeah.
People love that. And they must get so frustrated because they go, yeah, shit, isn't it? But I just keep listening. He says, no, but I genuinely think it's shit, though. Yeah, we do it, and they do it. It's brilliant, isn't it?
I
actually do hate it, though.
Yeah. Me as well, mate. Really. Oh. When they do the fart noise, hate it. Absolutely. Oh, goes right down my spine. Yeah. Oh, hate it.
Yeah, No. But it's brilliant now because we've got a point where, you know, we treat people with such disdain and such a lack of professionalism when we do this podcast.
Yeah.
And we're our own biggest critics, let's be honest.
Yeah, you can't deny that. You can't.
Then when people slag it out, it is of no consequence to me or to anyone else who listens to it.
There's nowhere to go with it. There's nowhere to go. You can't break down something that's been destroyed already. It's impossible.
But you know what I might do as a tip of the hat to the patrons. So there's two of them. One sort of agreed with the other one. So that's 10. That's a 10 of that is.
Yeah.
If you and I got paid, if this didn't go directly to Reese's bank account and he wasn't going to always invest it in T-shirts every week, which he never actually does.
No.
He's just sat on it. I've literally received not one penny since this podcast started.
I haven't seen a thing. I've not seen a thing. It's ridiculous.
Occasionally, Reese will say, the T-shirt idea is coming on quite well. Well, I'm not being funny. I could design a T-shirt for this fucking pile of shit in about 2 seconds.
One time he drew the design.
All I would say was, it would just have Demon Seed on the left tit. And then it would say, my boys, my wonderful boys. And that'd be it. Mm-hmm. In yellow on a black T-shirt. That's what it takes to design. Right? Mm-hmm. It's taking me 12 seconds. I would then take some of the money that he's fucking pilfered off all the listeners, buy the T-shirts, and then sell them on the website.
Yeah.
That's all he's got to do.
It's a brilliant idea. It's gold dust, absolute gold dust. But somehow...
I just set up that T-shirt deal in... I reckon it's now... What time is it? Let me check my quick. It's 21:33.
Yeah.
I reckon by 21:40, I could have set that up.
Yeah, easily.
I think it would take me 7 minutes.
Easily, yeah. But
Reese is a good 7 months in.
And it's still nothing, you know. Yeah. It's fucking shocking. It's the nature of it, isn't it?
He's too busy doing shit videos about moving mud. And sending pictures of his kids all the time. I don't care.
No,
I'm sending pictures of my kids.
It's relentless, isn't it? You know.
Do you know what? I can't afford to take photographs anymore because I haven't got any fucking money.
Yeah, but you don't half look a plonker in that Father Christmas get up.
I've been down the market letting the kids have a lucky dip. Anyway, that Stanley Baxter geezer looks even funnier. And he gets paid for it.
Mm. I should have got a bit here on that vet programme, you know, all creatures great and small.
Mm, I always wanted to be a vet.
Well, you're the one with GCEs, Ronnie. You could have been a vet if you weren't so worried about where you'd have to stick your hands.
Can't text him over. You can't pay for the text, you know. Whereas he's just...
Because Reese has sat there all our cash with his big fat ass cheeks.
I mean, by all accounts, he's bought two phones just so he can use them both at the same time. You know, he texts us individually from each separate phone. That's
but he's got a burner phone for his T-shirt account, hasn't he?
Yeah.
That's what he's got.
It's shocking. Absolutely shocking.
His T-shirt contact. He's trying to wangle a T-shirt. There's no deal to be done.
No.
There's no design process to be done. It takes a minute.
Some of the people would wear them, you know, some of the one who doesn't like the fart.
I've even said to Reese, I've got a T-shirt person that does my T-shirts for my proper podcast. Mm-hmm. We can make this happen immediately.
And what's he come back with on that?
He's working on a T-shirt idea. I think he spunked the money, I do.
He's clearly bought himself a pinball machine and loads of fags or something, hasn't he? He's rolling in it, you know. That's basically what's happened. You live in Canada. You can't get your hands.
He's not even here.
No.
Again.
He hasn't turned up again because he's busy in Canada. You see, if you live in Canada, you can't get things like double deckers. You can't get Mars bars. You can't get Wotsits. So what's he done? He's used all the money to buy himself snack food from the UK, get it imported over. And then he just, get me 500 packs of Rothmans as well because we can't get them in Canada. Not that I ever smoked, but I just want to see it all go up in smoke. You know, it's the best way to get rid of it. Just set fire to it all.
I drove that.
You know, get me some Super Kings. It's disgusting. Shocking behaviour, you know.
So there we go.
You've got to have a laugh, haven't you? You know.
You've got to laugh. That's 50 minutes down anyway, so 16 actually. We haven't really started yet as such, but...
We'll get going in a minute. I was having
You did on My Boys, to be fair.
Oh, that's started.
I've had a rant about admin.
Just having a quick one now. Remembering stuff.
Well, don't do the fart noise, John. You promised... John.
Remember, watched TV recently, went on YouTube, and I found an ITV special to commemorate... 20 years of Les Dawson being dead, and I didn't realise...
Oh, Les.
They made a special where they made a hologram of him, that they got his wife and daughter to sit there and watch it in a live studio audience.
Really?
Then they all watched a freaky hologram of Les Dawson doing a routine. It was fucking terrifying. Fucking amazing.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good.
Oh, superb.
It's really good. Go on YouTube and type in Les Dawson.
I do love Les Dawson. I genuinely love Les Dawson.
He's amazing. He's amazing. He's genuine. He's brilliant. Even as he's never a horrific hologram, it's a great routine.
Can you imagine?
It's absolutely brilliant. So he died
when his kid was very, very young. His daughter was only a couple of weeks old, wasn't she?
They showed footage and his daughter was like literally, you know, just like a ball of flesh with a hat on.
Babe in arms, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
So they brought his grown-up daughter and his widow.
Yeah, yeah.
To watch him do a stand-up routine as a hologram.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And the first part is them being interviewed.
Sounds like the worst Coachella you could possibly imagine.
It's fucking brilliant. It's just like you've got Tupac, you've got Biggie, and then you've got Les Dawson.
Biggie D.
Fucking brilliant, absolutely fucking brilliant. There's even a bit where he's on the piano as well, and the hologram piano bit's amazing because he's turned slightly to the side.
That's not a real thing, is it?
And his face is like shaking slightly as he's speaking, and it's fucking brilliant. They kept it on a big wide angle, so you can't really see it. But when he first comes up, you see people like Tom O'Connor and stuff in the audience, and you see the look of amazement /fear on their faces as they see Les Dawson.
Hey, see who died? Speaking of died.
Yeah. Oh.
See who died?
René, please let me go. I am over 112 years old. I want to go now. Ring the bell. Ring the bell, mate.
Hang on a minute. I got to reach the golf club.
Get the golf club.
Okay. There we go.
Get in. I did see that. Again, as the, many of the listeners will know.
Taken too soon.
Yeah, taken far too soon, you know, barely reached 100. And
thank you for the art, here we go. So she's, you know, how old is she?
She must, I'm going to look it up, actually, because that'll fill a bit of time up, won't it?
Yeah, yeah, have a look. So, whenever we look for stuff, do it in real time. Don't cut it out.
No, no way, no, that's not going to happen.
I was going to sing the She's Gone song there by Hall & Oates, but I don't remember the words apart from She's Gone.
Just do that bit for, you know.
She's gone, she's gone. That's paying the devil to her places. She's gone. She's gone. She's gone. I don't know.
Now I've just found out now.
Manny, so yeah, I know that.
Manny is a great song.
Yeah.
Hall & Oates, of course, fantastic. Now, apparently she hasn't just died. She actually died on the 22nd of December 2003. But I think what happened.
Close.
I think what happened...
You were telling me Gordon Kay's dead next.
I watched 3 episodes on Sunday and it was fantastic. It was the one where Rene had to... He'd been shot by a firing squad. And he had to come back and spend the next series pretending to be his own twin
Great
brother.
Fun. Great fun. What?
Yeah, he had to spend
Did that happen?
Next, yeah, they shot him. And I'll never forget as a kid watching it.
They shot Rene?
Memories of the end of the series where Rene was put up against a firing squad, but fortunately some of his mates had swapped the bullets out with wooden bullets that were designed to explode before they hit him. So when he was shot and everyone witnessed it, Edith ran up to him and cradled him and she said, "Are you okay?" Knowing full well that he was going to survive it, but he was in a lot of pain. She said, "Are you okay?" And he went, "No, there is a splinter in my bum." And then it ended. And I thought it was fucking hilarious. Anyway, he came back.
In a British comedy in the 1990s, the end of one of the episodes of a comedy was one of the main character.
The main character,
being murdered by the Nazis.
Yeah, in a firing squad. And it was a cliffhanger because it was the end of the series and you had to wait till next season to see what happened.
They were the days.
I waited all summer for that. I tell you what, I was excited to see how they do that. So anyway, in the second series, he played his twin brother who'd come back to claim his brother's fortune and deal with his will. So he was actually, Rene, he was called something like Ben Hayatoire, something like that. I didn't follow that.
Steve.
But Steve, yeah. And, of course, Rose Lillian Hill, who played the grandmother, died in 2003, aged 89.
Well, so, you know, that's, to Rose.
To Rose. And, of course, Vicky Michelle, who tweeted and liked a Demon Seed tweet this week because I think she put a fond memory of Rose Lillian Hill on.
This is... Yes.
Yes.
Joe.
This is magic. This is the magic.
The genius, John. The genius. Please get my impressions correct.
Just a matter of time before it goes West Country. Keep doing the voice and end up doing a West Country voice.
You see, Vicky Michelle, her name was Victoria Michelle, of course. By birth. What a wonderful actress Vicky Michelle was.
Fantastic.
Now, I remember very often in the 80s and the 90s, she would appear on such programs, well, famously as Allo Allo.
Of course.
Which was a sitcom set in Resistance France during the Second World War. Then, hilariously, the main character, René Artois, was he owned a bar. And I remember with great joy that in one of the very last episodes of the series, played by Gordon Kay, of course, was shot dead by a Nazi firing squad. But of course, they'd replaced the bullets with wooden bullets. But I was getting to the point of Vicky Michelle. Now, Vicky Michelle. Oh, a wonderful woman, a wonderful actress. And she would do this thing with her mouth where she would make a pout and she would look very, very sexy. And this, you know, this would engorge the penis of the young boys watching this. I was probably 14 years of age, 15 years of age at the time. And I remember watching Vicky And they won't deny it, John, for a second, that on more than one occasion in those days, pre-internet, pre-mobile phones, of course, that I would go up to my room, in my house, at my parents' house, and I would masturbate furiously, John, thinking of Vicky Michelle dressed as a French maid. And this, John, this was the genius of Vicky Michelle.
Just having a micro memory based on someone else's micro memory.
No fart noises.
I was informed of trying not to, desperately trying not to. What my mates told me.
One's going to sneak out now again, that's fine.
When he was younger, trying not to. When he was younger, he used to watch Vicky Michelle and he'd get a stiff in his pyjamas and his mother would say, put it away. And he'd sit there pushing it down whilst he was watching. Hello, hello. And I can only tell you that man is now a key member of the pop group that I'm involved with, who had some chart success in the early 2000s, but I can't tell you which one it was because he'll be fucking well angry if I say what his name was.
Oh, by the way, John.
Yeah.
My daughter came to the room earlier on.
Oh, yeah.
You're only a bloody answer on Richard Osman's House of Games.
Now, funnily enough, a friend of mine sent me a message about that, and I did see there was a question about the band, and it said which member of the band contains, I think it's like Reese, Eggsy, Adam, and Ballsy or something like that. You know what's weird about that? That question pops up on quiz shows once or twice a year. It's been on The Chase. It's been on Richard Osman's House of Games. I'm just waiting for Mastermind and we're done. But yeah, it just pops up every now and then, like they've run out of ideas. So very much like the Demon Seed, they've just run out of shit.
Oh, fucking hell, yeah.
They've just run out of
shit. No, not as bad as this, probably.
Osman, ring the bell. We've run out of questions. But let's say one on that was on The Chase about 18 months ago. Shut up and stop making the fart noise.
There we go. That's for Richard Osman. Just done House of Games, of course, myself.
Of course, yeah, but when does it...
Can't tell you how I got on, not allowed to, but...
Songs of Joy, Tears of Laughter.
We had joy, we had fun, we had Raquel Welch's bum, but the things we liked best were the boobies on her chest.
My name's Coco, I'm a monkey like you. I live in the jungle, not in the zoo. I keep my condoms in a little pink box, but I'd rather have a shag with Samantha Fox. Oh, yeah.
Never fancied her.
No, I mean,
I'd rather shag Coco the monkey, to be honest.
Sudden memories of Spectrum 48K having Sam Fox's strip poker, and it was a tape cassette game that you could load onto a Spectrum, and I've no idea what pixelated boobs would have looked like on a 48K Spectrum, but I'd love to see it now.
I remember my first mobile phone. Very early days of the mobile phone.
Yeah.
Green screen.
Yeah.
Greyish black pixels.
Nokia style.
Poor quality.
Yeah.
I downloaded, well actually it wasn't a download, it was like a text link. Oh, I nearly farted. It was called WAP Sexy. Because it used the WAP interface rather than internet.
Wireless application protocol.
That's the one.
Yeah, I remember that.
And if you're on WAP Sexy, you could watch things like a pixelated mouth sucking a pixelated dick. Proper shit.
Bring it back. Bring it back. I want to see more of that. As a woman app, so I can just see that, please. Fucking amazing.
Oh, I googled it. I can't find it.
Fucking brilliant.
WAP Sexy was a real thing, and I had it on my phone.
Distant memories.
Very disappointing. Very disappointing. It was like watching someone get bummed on an Etch a Sketch.
Yeah, it's not going to be. It's not going to be the greatest thing I've ever seen, is it? But in some ways, it does the job.
Yeah, it does in a way.
Phenomenal. Them Tyrannosaurus is pretty spectacular, but nothing compares to these collectible little devils, the Lost World Poposauruses. They're popping up everywhere. Frightening, isn't it?
The Lost World Poposaurus is free in selected packs of Hula Hoops, Mini Cheddars, and Skips.
Yeah. I must remember, if you can mention, when you release this.
Yeah.
put like an asterisk on the ones that I don't want my kids to listen to.
So this is
they listen to the last one, which is bad enough.
Yeah,
but I don't really want to hear about me talking about Benjamin and stuff. And
no, that's not. It's not a family. it's not family activity.
I mean, none of them are. To be fair,
it's not a family activity.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
We put on the car the other day. We're going to Barry Island Beach with my wife, my son, and my daughter.
Yeah.
So my son's 12, my daughter's 9. And my son was laughing along. It was getting quite extreme. And then my daughter, I realised, was just singing songs to herself in the back, just hoping it would go away.
That sums it up. Oh, make it go away.
To her, you're just Uncle John, the weirdo.
Yeah, but then the things that come out on this podcast
beyond
belief, you know, beyond belief.
That's right.
Shocking.
Maybe tell the listeners about the time when you, maybe a micro memory of yours might be when you introduced my kids to slugging when they were a bit younger.
Well, this was a great time, of course. Child management, as you know, when children are young, they eat a lot of sugar, they eat a lot of sweets, and they get very, very excited. And, you know, in the presence of Uncle John, they want to play games, or they did want to play games at that age. Yeah. You know, look at this game, play this game, let's climb the stairs, let's set fire to this sofa, whatever they wanted to do, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, you know, it's very hard work to try and look after children. So, of course, I introduced the concept of slugging, which for anyone who's got children or is dealing with children, it's a great way. It's a fun way to discipline them. As you know, you simply show them a shiny pound.
And I didn't know this because I went to the shop, I believe, and came back and I sort of discovered slugging by accident, really.
So when you came home, obviously I was sat at the table and then the two very well-behaved children, incredibly well-behaved children, were both lying on the living room floor, arms by their sides, straight out, just staring up at the ceiling.
Completely stationary,
I think you came
looked like they'd been stung by a blue-ringed octopus. They just weren't moving at all.
Nothing at all. And for over 15 minutes, they've been there under the guise, if they pretended to be a slug, hence slugging, the one who slugged the longest would win a shiny pound. And they were there for 25 minutes to half an hour. And it worked.
It did work.
Brilliant. But if you need
to... Maybe you didn't have a pound on you, so I think I owe the kids.
Yeah, that's right. But I did say it would be £2 next time and so on and so forth. So, you know...
Yeah. I mean, if you've got kids.
It's great. And again, if you're a teacher, you know, if you work with groups of disadvantaged children, you know, kids that have been involved with crimes, they're a little bit on the edge, just suggest slugging, you know. And I'm sure it'll work in a way.
And yeah, like Asbo type of kids or, you know, just wrong-uns, basically wrong.
Yeah, wrong-uns. Definitely. You know.
Not that my kids are wrong-uns, they're just...
Well-behaved, very well-behaved, professional. Once they've heard this shit, though, there is a chance they may end up sort of walking around the playground going, Rene, help me! Help me! Stop the pain! Of course, ring the bell.
Why do you always do that?
Because it does it on the TV version. There's like there's sort of an extra bonus.
It's on your TV.
Yeah. And everyone's to watch it. There's an extra bit. Comes in. Fucking genius. Absolute genius.
So what have you up to?
Just having a memory.
Yeah.
Cheyenne Haystacks being interviewed by Mike Morris on TVAM. Complaining that they'd taken British wrestling off of ITV, but Sky had a deal with American wrestling, and he was supposed to come across as one of the hardest men in show business, but he just came across as the most uncharismatic fat bloke I've ever seen on TV in my life. The interview lasts for about 20 minutes. It's fucking brilliant.
It does. I watched that. About 2 weeks ago.
It's fucking brilliant. It's Mike Morris keeps calling him sir.
Of the break.
Mike Morris keeps calling him sir and pretending to be scared of him, and he just looks like he's really not interested in it.
He said, what should I call you? He says, call me sir. So he does.
He does.
For the whole interview.
And Lorraine Kelly looks incredibly young on it, and she tries to join in on the action, but she's shit at interviewing him as well. And it goes on and on for fucking ages.
To be fair, I mean, it was impossible to interview, to be fair.
It's fucking brilliant.
They were the days, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, it was great.
Get him on. So love the old world of sport on ITV.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
With old Dickie Davis, rest in peace, of course.
Lovely man. When I many years ago, I worked in Sainsbury's in Newport.
And I don't think he's dead, though. I'm not sure.
Well, the boss of Sainsbury's looks exactly the same as him. And one Christmas, I remember, he got some of the lads, and he said, all right, lads, just come here with me. And I swear he shouldn't have done this, but he just got them to take loads of stuff out of the freezers and put it in the boot of his car, and then he fucked off. And I thought, are you allowed to do that? He was the boss, so somehow it was okay. Shocking, absolutely fucking shocking. I'll never forget that Christmas. Yeah.
No,
Dickie Davis.
Which is the boss? You don't mean like John Sainsbury. You don't mean the big boss.
He was your regional manager, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say, if it was the bloke who actually owned Sainsbury's.
Yeah,
if they had no shareholders, just him.
Tony Sainsbury walks
in. It was his company. He was a sole trader that owned Sainsbury's.
Exactly. Yeah.
That he'd do what he liked with the stock. Except
yeah. Him. But this was like, you know.
But I don't know the regional managers are allowed to do that sort of thing.
Don't look like Dickie Davies, who never came out of his office apart from at the end of the day, and that was it. And
to nick food.
He came down one Christmas and he handpicked four of the boys and he just went, all right, lads, just get four of them, eight of them, get a load of them, pick them up, put them in the back of the car. And they did, and he just fucked up.
Balls of brass, fair play.
I'm thinking, fucking hell. I might just try and get a job as a manager in Sainsbury's in that case. It's shocking. Absolutely.
My mum worked in a department store in Barry years ago.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they made the Welsh news, but it was when TVs first went super big, but they weren't like LED tellies.
They had a big back still. They had a big back. Yeah.
They were huge. Like they were like the size of a cement mixer.
Yes, yes.
Some bloke walked into, it was called Dan Evans, department store in Barry.
Yeah.
And as brave as you like, asked two of the Danny Evans employees to help him put this TV in the back of his van because he couldn't get out of it on his own.
Brilliant.
They assumed that if he's being that bold, he's obviously bought it.
Yeah.
So they just helped him to put it in his van and he fucked up. See, that's not a theft. Yeah. Should be positively encouraged, I think.
I think you're right. I was outside Top Man in the early 90s and we were just all sitting there smoking fags, and a lad came out with about 60 pairs of jeans, and he started walking, picked up speed, and then fucking pegged it. And about 8 minutes later, some of the staff came out and were just looking confused, and we just sort of pointed to the end of the road. He'd long gone. Fucking genius. Micro memories. Just remembered one of my mates, and I won't say his name, and there's no one here to beep it out this week, so I'll make it up.
Steve Williams.
Steve Williams used to work for WH Smith's in the magazine depot, and he'd have to collect all the magazines and bring them back at the end of the week. But some of the other lads found out that when they dump all the magazines in a skip, you can go there on a Sunday, you can climb over the wall and nick all the pornos. So they'd nick all the pornos back and bring them to school and sell them for a fiver apiece. Went mad. I shouldn't have said his name. One of the lads went mad and bought a load of them.
Well, bear in mind last week, mate, Reese Useless Waters, our producer, right?
Yeah.
Who's no longer with us, it doesn't look like.
He's left. He's fucked off with the money.
He put that big car horn over all the blokes you said bleeped the name out.
Right. But he didn't.
I only mentioned one bloke.
He didn't bother doing it.
And yours, what is yours, was something like, it was completely innocuous, and he bleeped it out. Then I'm telling a story in good faith about a mate of mine, about 56 wanks in a week, poured the spunk over the tent and said told the scoutmaster the tent had been fucked by a cow.
A cow, yeah.
He left the name in.
Just reminded
I'm not going to say his name again.
You just reminded me of another kid whose name I can't say, but I'll go on, I'll say it. No, I won't. I don't know whether I should. I'm torn. But basically, one of his names was Lee, and he was from the Chepstow area. I'm not going to say the rest. But his school chinos were always too short, and he had really white socks, and he had quite big teeth. And on one occasion, he tried to do a backwards roll so he could suck his own phallus on the bus. I never saw him do that. And he did it. And then on another occasion, apparently, he went up the country woods, and I don't know how true this is, but he claims it. Him and some lads put a bit of scaffolding up a cow's bum, and a couple of days later they came back and they found it, and it was bent in half and covered in shit. I'm not saying his full name in case he's still out there listening.
Dirty Lee.
Dirty. Dirty Lee with the short trousers. Always short, even at the beginning of term. It wasn't like he'd grown out of them. They were just always short, even when he got new pairs. Like Michael Jackson.
Bottom short.
Bottom short. So we had white socks showing. He had a massive arse as well. You know those big round arses where they really fit into chinos and they're bulbing out. And he had big teeth at the front. And he had curly brown hair. And he had these wild blue eyes that made him look like a fucking psycho.
You've narrowed him right down.
Some plump walking around with a massive round ass, psychotic blue eyes and big teeth and curly hair.
From Chepstow. He was in school with John. Goldie.
And everyone's pointing at him and he doesn't know why. That's him, isn't it? Hey, that's him. Where are
you? You fucking here.
You can tell by the shape of his ass. Go on, ask him. Excuse me, Julie. From Chepstow. Just one thing. I've heard
who's
of
asking,
from.
Mate? I've heard
I've heard it from you from off of the viewer of the Demon Sea podcast. They was talking, they were saying all things about you before. They reckons that you fucking would have been a scaffolding of a count. Fucking bum. And you trying to do a backward roll to suck your own cheese on a Chepstow bus.
Oh. Always one bloke in school trying to suck his own dick.
There's always one. Oh, God. It's fucking ridiculous.
Oh, why would you want him?
Oh, fucking ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
God knows. God knows.
Unbelievable. I remember once a lad came to my house and he was a mate of a mate. And I know him quite well now, but at the time I barely knew him. And he came in with my other mate. And me and my sister were watching TV. And for some reason, he just stood in front of the TV, pulled his trousers down and pulled his bum apart and showed us his inner workings for no reason at all. I was about 16 at the time. I was like, what the fucking wrong with you, mate? Fucking weirdo.
They're great drugs, aren't they?
He wasn't even on drugs. We were about 15. He was just fucking weird. I think he settled down with a wife and kids now. Christ help him.
Plug it. Block it out. Plug the name.
Yeah, won't say his name.
Yeah,
won't say his name.
I think you should tell us. You should tell us. Let's do the story again about the fellow who sucked his own cheese in the style of Stepstone Son. After I've done the intro.
Okay. Audience clap, opening scene, coach, hot sunny day, Stepstone and Son are travelling to school from Chepstow. Oh, Christ, it's warm. It's so bloody hot on here. Oh, I can't open the window. I can't open the window. Anyway, we'll be at St. Joseph's Roman Catholic High School in 5 minutes. We've got a couple of GCSEs to study for. Oh, fuck the GCSEs. For Christ's sake, you're over 70 and I'm fucking 55. What are we even doing it? Ellen, I don't know, but they've put us on this bus and they've got to keep doing something. I'm getting bored. Hang on, what's that? Up ahead. Oh, Christ, it's a fucking traffic jam on the edge of Dufferin just by the fucking industrial estate. Oh, Christ, we're going to be here all day. Don't worry, I can think of a way to keep us occupied for 5 minutes. You what? What is it trying to climb over me? Get off of me. There's a seat. Oh, you're getting... Here, you lot, look at this. I'll take my trousers off and do a backward roll. You can see me pop my cheese in my mouth. Oh, my Christ on a bike. How have you ever managed to do that? You're fucking 78. You ought to put your fucking back out, you belly. I know, Adam. Look at this. Here we go. All the way. I've nearly got it in, Adam. Just a little bit further, Adam. Give us a push, will you, Adam? Oh, I'm not touching you. You haven't wiped for weeks. It's disgusting. A load of yellow scuds around the back. You make me sick. Oh, you horrible, horrible bastard. You make me sick to my stomach. Oh, Adam, go on, give us a little nudge. I swear if you get a photograph, I might get in the school paper saying that they haven't got enough technology to put photos in the school photo, in the school paper now because it's 1988. We haven't even got computers yet in the school. Oh, you horrible bastard. You've seen everywhere. You've exposed yourself to the rest of the class. We've got GCLC history in 45 minutes, you fucking man. Ring the bell. It's just that there was almost not the same shit, but then it was the same shit in a different order.
Back at the Earthyard, here we go.
Cracking jokes, Gromit.
God. Well, you said about Bill Owens last week. I need to crash a fucking car with him last week. Cracking bowel cancer, combo.
Cracking bowel cancer, Grammy. Oh, God.
Oh, you silly cat.
Of course, the people who paid would have had this one as a free one this week, so they missed out on that classic.
Oh, they missed all that, didn't they?
Yeah, this, of course, you do miss God, a lot.
It was different, wasn't it, last week? Wasn't it different?
Very different. We had all three last week. We had them all going.
So much difference,
you know.
Difference in this and like the paid version is huge.
I tell you what I could do is I could sort of allude to having paranormal content. That fills some...
Yeah, yeah, time. Well, yeah, talk about doing that, yeah.
I've got a lot of paranormal content for this one, Mike. Big one.
All right, yeah.
Big news, actually. I'll save that till the end, though, you know, so we'll...
Yeah, oh, yeah, do that last couple of 5 minutes.
Save that the last 5 minutes, just see what we can get out of it, you know.
Well, I'm thinking about the last sort of when we get to about 56 minutes.
Yeah.
We're on port 44 now.
Yeah.
I'll probably just blow into a whiskey bottle for 4 minutes anyway.
Well, that's something that obviously the people that paid for it last week really, they got their money's worth when you blew into that Diet Pepsi Max bottle for about 3.5 minutes towards the end.
Yeah, so. I've got 4 minutes this week.
So
Kelly did say to me, you should do it for a whole hour.
I mean, don't for the people who haven't heard it, don't give too much away. They might not understand that when you said you were going to blow into a bottle for 4 minutes, they might not know what that means. So let's not give it all away, the fact that you're going to blow into a bottle for four minutes for the last 4 minutes of the podcast.
Yeah.
Prestige claimed to be Slough's number one body repair centre. They claim to give free estimates, recovery, collection and delivery within a 30-mile radius and up to 100% off your insurance excess. A 2-year paint warranty through the ICI Paint Guard scheme, a 12-month warranty on all structural work undertaken, highly trained technicians, RAC Select status, membership of the MVRA and prestige of a registered quality assured body shop. And you know what? It's true.
So, for your car body repairs, private or fleet, come to Prestige Car Body Repairs, the natural choice.
Let's hold out for 5 more. Hold out for 5 minutes.
I don't give a fuck, mate. I don't give a fuck what I mean.
I don't give a
fuck. I'll fucking do it, like, you know what I mean? I want to fucking blow it in a fucking bottle. Like, I'll do it. I've done it before. Like, and you know I have, John.
I've done it loads.
You were there last week when I done it.
I've done it
and
before.
And I fucking done it. And I kept doing it as well. And then you're going to, I can see people thinking, like, is he just going to blow in that fucking bottle and put it out as a podcast, is he? And I fucking did it, mate.
You fucking did it.
I deconstructed the podcast fucking genre on my fucking own.
What I've done before is I've done two things. One of them was getting a bottle of Matey bubble bath, the blue one with the fucking sailor on the front. And I saved it for over 35 years, right? With no fucking, none of the juice in it. I just kept it empty for ages. And then one time I had a bath and I got it out, right? And I put it in a bath. And then when I felt some wind building up, I put a lid in my fucking anus and collected the air in there and sealed it up and then saved it for another 33 years. Breathed it in at the age of 60, savoured the flavour, didn't I?
This is the genius of John. I mean, the way that he took the bottle of Matey, as you remember in the advertising campaign from the 70s and 80s, Matey's a bottle of fun, you take me in the bath, as something good for everyone, and always good for a laugh, or something along these lines. Of course, what John Rutledge did in the Newport area was to completely subvert the genre of the bath salts, the bath, the bubble bath. And completely subverted, you see. And then, and the thing was, where he got the idea from was watching an old Tarzan film, where young John Weissmuller, in probably his first or second film, maybe for the, I believe the Rank organization, I can't remember which particular one of the big studios he was in the contract to at the time, in the days of the contract players, of course, and it became very expensive to buy yourself out of one's contract. So you were very much tied to the studio for the length of time of your contract. So John Weissmuller had just signed for one of the big studios and two Tarzan films into it. I believe this third Tarzan film, I believe when it's called something like Tarzan Takes a Bath. And of course, Tarzan has been swinging through the vines and talking to Cheetah. I believe Jane, we met for the first time. And he thinks to himself, I quite fancy Jane. I have always fancied simians and monkeys and chimpanzees and baboons and macaques. But this Jane is a right piece of nice crumpety, thought to himself. But for course, he then thinks to himself, I've been swinging through the jungle for the last 30, 40 years. My penis and my scrotum and my chin rest between the anus and the balls, they will be sweaty and covered in various the fruits of the jungle, you know, lice and insects, of course, and the plant matter and fecal matter, etc., etc., etc. So what John Weissmuller did was he said to the studios, yes, I will make the film and I will do Tarzan Takes a Bath, but I will insist on having a bubble bath. Of course, there was no such thing as bubble bath at the time. But well, one, it's very hard to comprehend these days, the modern days, instant fame, YouTube channels, TikTok, John. These were huge companies versus an absolute fortune. So, of course, Johnny Weissmuller was their big star. They invent bubble bath, especially for Johnny Weissmuller. And so they bring this bottle, and they call it Mitty. They bring Mitty into the studio lot, and they pour the bath water in, and they add the Mitty, they make up the jingle, they pour it in there, and Johnny Weissmuller washes his penis and his balls and his anus and his legs, his arms, his armpits, his chest, his hair, everything with the Mitty. And Jane goes crazy for him. She can't believe it. This wonderful smelling man. Previously, was he man? Was he ape? No one was quite sure. But now, of course, just this virile embodiment, almost like a Greek god, smelling of matey. And, of course, Jane was enamored of this. And this was the days before one had to always have one leg on the bed, you know, on the floor in any sort of romantic scenes with, if you lied on a bed with somebody. But John Weissmuller was an A-lister. He thought, fuck that. Fuck it. So he gets Jane into bed with him. They call action. The next thing you know, boom, up pops his big dick. And Jane is playing with it and loves the smell of the matey. And loved it so much, John, that they had full sex. And he had very few people will be aware of the fact that the first person to actually copulate live on film was Mr. Johnny Weissmuller, the chain. And this is all because she could not resist his meaty smelling balls. And this, John, this one act of copulation, this one act of sexual intercourse, this one cock a snook to authority, this, John, was the very genius of Weissmuller.
The genius of Weissmuller. My God, that guy could do a backward roll 8 times in a row. Pop his dick in, take it out. Pop his dick in, take it out. He'd roll all the way to the freaking bodega. He'd get himself a pack of the cigarettes. He'd backwards roll all the way back to the freaking studio. Cat shit up his back. Jizz him on his mouth. He'd step on set. He'd recite the lines like a motherfucking...
Oh, forget about it. He didn't give a fuck.
Oh, my God.
Not a single fuck did John Weissmuller give for the way things should be done. Johnny Weissmuller did things the way he wanted to do them, John. He didn't give a fuck what people thought he should do or what they thought he shouldn't do. He lived by his own rules.
In a town of swinging dicks, he was the big stiffy. You know what I'm saying? His dick eye was so big he could fit 2 fists in it and still have enough room to spray piss over the audience. That son of a bitch. Do, you motherfucker. On one occasion, one of the lights caught fire. One of the lights exploded or some bullshit. Anyway, Weissmuller's there. He pushes the freaking fire brigade out of the way. He says, "Watch this, you dumb fucks." He takes a swig of 2 gallons of water. He stuffs one of his fists down his dick eye just to block the hole up slightly to create some pressure. Sprays piss all over the fire. He's got it out in 22 seconds. He's back on the set 18 seconds later. He's doing his lines like nothing ever happened. The only way you could tell, he had slight skid marks from the heat of the fire. Do. Smelled like pizza crust. Goddamn, that tasted good. Help me. Can I control it? The one who ate farting is going to deal with it now.
Marry the punk.
Arthur Fowler. Do they mean us? They surely do.
No.
Cracking jaws, Grumpy. It's all coming back now. Father would be millionaires by Christmas. God, look at his toes.
I'm just trying to help you, Roland.
Danny Kendall's dead in the back of the car. This is what the people came Jacko.
Marlene, get those bloody dogs out of here.
You plunker, Rodney.
Bloody hell.
Stole the names. All of it. Ring the fucking bell about 10 times in a row. This is what they've been waiting for. The entire fucking episode. This is what they want.
Hiya, Mike. It's me, your Uncle John from Demon Seed. Remember me? I'm coming round your house to show you photos of you when you were younger. I mean, you're looking together on the sofa, can't we? Want to have a look? Come on, come inside. I got all types of them.
Step inside, love, and stay. Step inside, love.
Tom O'Connor Roadshow. Marty Kane.
Steve Wright in the afternoon.
Quack, quack, oops.
Oh, boy.
Jesus fucking Christ. What a fucking weapon.
Oh, fucking me.
Unbelievable.
Man, what it is. We're treating the family. We're going up in London to see a show. We're going to see Cats, and it's going to be with our coach. And when we get up there, it's going to be amazing. We're going to Wimpy first, because they've never had the burger before. And then we're going up the West End to see Cats.
You fucking live in there, I do. No, you can have fucking waiter service, mind, in a fucking hamburger restaurant.
You can't believe they give you a plate with a fucking burger and a knife and fork. And after he's doing it, he's playing the bottle. For the last fucking 5 minutes, we're starting to run out the fuck all to say.
I'm fucking shooting up my arm, you silly bugger. I'm not ready yet, am I?
Mike, another when you does all the fucking blowing in the bottle, it's like seeing Chad and Dave with a wasp balls, but with less musical talent and no songs. It's fucking amazing.
By the phone up last night, she was going to spend. She was in a temper, pulling her hair. Your sister's caught with a scruffy little get father, don't give her monkeys and everybody.
I don't care. Two men doing Chad and Dave, and then when they run out of the woods, one of them just blows into a bottle because there's
with your incessant talking, you're becoming the best rabbit.
He's blowing. This is where they came for. This is what they came for. This is what they came for. The sound of a man breathing into a bottle across the top to create the sound.
Let me die, Rene. Let me die.
Rene, I died in 2003, but this prick thought I had died last week. What is this? Let me die, Rene.
You dirty old grandmother.
Hey, Daddle, please, when we get off this school bus, can I put this? But the school trousers off, they're hurting me balls. Oh, he's got to leave them on now. He's not doing a GCSE history, but they're hurting me balls. He's got to leave him empty one pass, and he's just shoveled that bit of skin there. Oh, I'm up above that fucking bottle, mate. We've got to fill some sand. Yes! Yes!
Right, it's 56 minutes and 18 seconds.
Okay,
really. When it gets to 56:30, I'm going to blow this non-stop for 3 minutes.
Next up,
and then I'm going to come in, tell them to fuck off, and then we're finished.
Next up on tonight's show, we got an entertainer from Cardiff called Mike, who's about to blow on a bottle. Mike's 58 years old, and his hobbies include running, golf, and talking to ladies he's never met before. So, Mike, Let's give him a big hand of round of applause for Mike from the Gabalfa Interchange. Give it up for Mike Bubbins on the bottle. Take it away, Mike.
It's fucking blowing into a bottle. Fucking blowing into a bottle. Fucking hell, it was almost normal for the first bit.
Mike's currently playing a piece he composed himself after spending many weeks inside practicing on the bottle. In between his hobbies of talking to women he doesn't know, or running, or playing golf, Mike enjoys composing. And his current song is called a tribute to the well-known Cockney act, Chaz and Dave. So, Mike, take it away, please, Mike.
Fuck it. Nearly 58 minutes. Keep going. Keep going. I'm just making the noise. One minute, 15 seconds left. I'm blowing into the microphone like it's going to do it. I'm just going to blow into the microphone. Seconds. Twenty seconds.
Oh, there we are. Right, they can fuck off. Right.
Thanks very much to Mike. He's 58 and he plays the bottle. Give it up for Mike Bubbins.
Thank you, that the art. Here we go.
Cracking toast, drum it. I'll stop the tape now.
Demon Sea.
Broadcast. You must be mistaken.
It's now, it's here.
Come on down here and help with it.
Demon Sea.
Paranormal existence.
You mean to say you came here purposely?
The first move and the great conspiracy had been made.